Welcome to Rewatchable, episode 182, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 4, episode 15, This Year's Girl, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer, episode 16, Who Are You? Yay! My evil plan. No, I'm kidding. I'm very excited to be here. My name is Selena, and I'm joined by superfan Caitlin and newbies Mitch and Kristen. Hey, guys.
Hello. Howdy.
Welcome to a special Rewatchable that's two episodes of Buffy. We had a bit of a debate about these two episodes because they're obviously a two-parter. So we were talking about whether we should split them up with two Angel episodes or if we should do two Buffy episodes this week and two Angel episodes next week. We landed on this just because the discussion of both of these episodes together will hopefully be more enjoyable for the listeners than splitting them up. That was the actual reason, not just to have two episodes of Buffy, but then next week we'll have two episodes of Angel, and then we'll get back to the Buffy Angel schedule. This is also a very good sort of litmus test for whether it's worth doing this in the future, because obviously, as fans know, there are episodes of both Buffy and Angel that are meant to be together, but obviously, with very few exceptions, did they ever air on the same night? So it's all a question of whether you want us to keep the conversations about two-parters together or if you want us to as closely experience the shows as we did back when, or as we would have done back when they were first airing. So you can let us know your feedback on that. We'll definitely take it into consideration for future recordings. And you can do that by contacting us in one of several ways. You can always email rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter @re_watchable. You can find this post on hypeable.com and leave your comments, or you can go to Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. Just remember to keep your feedback spoiler-free, because obviously we do have a lot of newbies both on the show and listening along with us, so we don't want to spoil them any more than can be, you know, humanly avoided, so to speak. But before we get into the discussion of Buffy, we want to share some fun facts with you. So, Kristen, why don't you go first?
Of course you'd pick me to go first, and I don't have
one.
It's your birthday!
Okay. That's yes, a fun fact.
Yeah, my birthday was this week. It was this last Tuesday, and it was pretty fabulous. I went and saw, I don't forget what it's called, the comedy with Owen Wilson and Zach Galifianakis that's in theaters right now, and I don't recommend it. It was kind of lame. All the funny parts are in the trailer, so it was like, meh, this was kind of a buzzkill. But then I went home and to my parents' house and watched Ghostbusters with all of them, the new one, so it was really fun.
That's good. That's really good. Have you not seen it before?
Oh, I have, and my parents had too, but my little brother hadn't, and it was out digitally. It's not out on DVD yet, but it was out on Amazon or whatever. So I was like, yes, must watch this.
Awesome. Mitch, what's your fun fact?
I'll keep the movie theme going on. I went to go see the new Blair Witch movie, which was horrible, but I got to see it all alone in a movie theater in the middle of the day, and it was super fun. I never have done that before for a movie, and it was super creepy. It was the perfect atmosphere for even a crappy horror movie.
Were you the only one in the theater?
Oh yeah, it was weird because I kept looking at my shoulder. You can't really see, and I was like, I'm just gonna look for movement. I'm gonna look for like a little kid's light up shoes or maybe a cell phone. Something will guide me toward another human being in this room. Nothing. Nothing. I was alone.
Oh my god.
I mean, and the thing is, like, that movie's like a paranoia kind of movie, so there's all like this rustling going on in the surround sound theater behind you, so it sounded like someone was really in the theater still, and I was like, ah. That part was probably the scariest part. The movie, yeah, it's just not, I mean, I'm such a big fan of the original. Just to, like, avoid this one with the 10-foot pole if you are too. You're not going to have a fun time.
Okay.
Unless you see it in a theater all alone, and then you're going to have a fun time.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know. And Caitlin, what do you have?
So I'm just going to continue my saga of my puppy and say that we finally met with a dog behaviorist this week and had a really good session. And we even got him to come up on the couch with me, which has been amazing because he's been very scared of everything. So we're seeing some improvements, though right now he's sort of pacing around and hiding, and I'm trying to lure him out from hiding with some beef. Aww. So he's a very nervous dog, but he's making progress.
That's good. That's really good. We're very much enjoying your dog updates. So good thing that you're keeping them coming. Do I have a fun fact? Not really. I don't know. It's pretty boring. I am going to be watching and reviewing The Crown, Netflix's series about Elizabeth II for Hypeable, and I started watching it a couple of days ago, and it is so good. That's my fun fact.
Keep up.
Oh my god. No, me neither.
There are too many Netflix shows, and they're all excellent. Shows. That's the thing.
I know. This season of TV, it's too good. Like, there's too many shows that you have to watch, like, that are must-see, and you can't keep up with all of them. Like, it's impossible. Like, for some reason, the only one I'm watching regularly is The Good Place, like, of all shows.
Hey, that's a funny one.
Yes, it is. Yeah. I'm 100%. I was a little bit skeptical at first, but I'm 100%, like, converted. That show is amazing.
Yeah.
And it's only half an hour, which also helps, because it doesn't take so much time, like, an entire season of Luke Cage.
I still need to watch that.
Haven't gotten through.
I know.
Yep.
Same here.
You know, keeping this rewatchable onto the point where I don't even tell people to watch new shows. I only ever tell them to watch Atla, Avatar: The Last Airbender. Like, that's the only show you need to watch in life. And it's true. It really is. All the rest.
Yeah, same. Except it's Buffy. But otherwise, 100% the same. That's what I always say. Just watch Buffy and you have, like, the cornerstone of all the shows, like, airing today, so you don't need anything else. But speaking of Buffy, that's a good transition. Moving into the discussion of this week's episode, it's a double feature. My heart is very happy, because, of course, I love Buffy. So the first one is This Year's Girl, and then the second one is Who Are You? And we're going to do the discussion together, and try to sort of move through the different scenes and themes and all of that stuff as good we can, and then see how we go. The synopsis, who wrote it? Was it you, Mitch?
Last week was actually not me. It was Adriana. This week is me. I know it's confusing. We should put, like, some kind of authorship in it, but it's more fun having you guys guess. I kind of like that.
Yeah. Well, I should have known it was you based on the first sentence.
Absolutely.
So here we go. In these episodes, Fuffy is back and better than ever. When Faith wakes up from her coma, the Scoobies don't know what to do. Riley is out of the hospital, and Faith is super jelly that Buffy is hitting it up with a new bae. In retaliation, Faith takes Joyce hostage to bait Buffy home. Armed with a soul swapper gift left by the mayor, Faith fights Buffy and switches bodies with her, Freaky Friday style. At first, no one notices anything, and it's all cool because Faith was taken away by the Watchers Council. However, once Tara notices that Buffy's chi is out of whack, the Scoobies realize that the swap must be undone ASAP. But everything changed when Adam's lackeys attacked. Some rando vamps take parishioners hostage, but Fuffy saved them. And they resume their fight for each other's love. They switch back during the scuffle, and just like that, Buffy's true love, OTP, is gone without a trace. So that's it. And not only is this a very exciting two-parter, but it also marks officially the halfway point of the show. Fun fact.
Oh, really?
What episode number are we in? We're halfway through.
Is this like episode number 57 or something like that?
I don't know exactly, but I just got it off the Buffy wiki, so that's all I know. But yeah, no, we've reached the halfway mark. So of Buffy, not of Angel. That's a different story, but that'll be carrying on for a little bit longer. But very exciting. And this year's girl was written by Doug Petrie and directed by Michael Gershman, but the second part, Who Are You, was actually written and directed by Joss Whedon, which explains why there were so many quotable lines, I guess. this should be sort of another interesting aspect of the discussion of these two episodes. But first of all, I want to ask you guys, what do you think? I know that we were sort of waiting for Faith to return. Was this like how you imagined she would return? Were you happy with it to see her again? Do you feel a little bit sort of like you got a resolution or?
Well, I think you know my answer.
Because I don't actually watch her.
I'm a big Fluffy shipper. Of course I'd be happy she comes back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested to see what Kristen's going to say. Do you like Faith?
I forgot about Faith. Like, I legitimately forgot that, like, she was in a coma hanging out. We've had so much going on with the initiative mm-hmm. and all the college, you know, getting change over to college years and figuring out all of that. I literally forgot until I turned this on and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Faith. Huh. Yeah. Okay. All right. Getting back to that. So it's nice to see her. I like Faith. I like what she brings to the show, but I just completely forgot.
When she wakes up with hashtag no makeup on, she looks fabulous. Eliza is a beautiful woman. She looks so good. And I can tell why Buffy's feeling like, oh, God, like, what am I doing with Riley? I need to get back together with Faith. Because, like, jokes aside, I really do feel like there are moments where the show, like, says that. And I really, I like, just the way that they are together, it's even better. Now that they're, like, really, once again, this sounds like a joke, but now that I find that they're always, like, fighting for their love in my mind, I just love it. It works. These two women have such a chemistry. Those actors do, Sarah and Eliza.
Well, you know what's kind of funny about that? I was actually going to go a different direction, but I'll get back to that in a second. But, I mean, I definitely think you are right, because not only, like, do they very clearly set Faith and Buffy up as being, like, two sides of the same coin, to use a Merlin expression, like, literally taking over each other's lives in this case, but always sort of from the very beginning, like, when Faith was first introduced, they talk about how Buffy, like, they're the same. They're both the Slayer. They're both inhabiting the same space. And in that, their relationship does kind of become very intense. But there are also straight up moments, like Buffy's "I never stopped thinking about you" line, that sort of was over a shot of Faith. Like, she was talking about Riley, but it was said as Faith was on screen. Like, there's definitely something there that they're playing with for sure.
I know, and I'm just happy for once that my crack ship isn't a crack ship, because it's literally in the context. It's amazing. It's like, finally, like, the TV shows we're watching are matching up with my crazy mindset. These are the kind of shows we should have been watching from the start of Rewatchable. Hashtag Zutara.
But no, Yona, I actually wanted to go back to something Kristen said, which was that you forgot about Faith, because I think that's, like, a really interesting facet of Buffy, the show in general, because you may have forgotten about Faith, but I think I wasn't alone in totally forgetting about Joyce. You know, like, Joyce came back in this episode, and it was like, oh yeah, we haven't seen her in, like, half a season. But I think the show is so good at sort of out of sight, out of minding its characters, and sort of leading the narrative down a totally different direction, but never actually forgetting about anything. So it sort of allows its viewers to forget about stuff, but it's always there to be brought up when something happens that requires that character or that storyline or that theme or whatever. And that's, like, one of the things that I think makes Buffy so hashtag rewatchable, is that everything they do and say and feel and et cetera, like, it's there in everything they do, and eventually it all comes out. Like, nothing is done by chance. And even letting Faith fade out of these characters' memories and the viewers' memories is intentional, because then she's allowed to come back in this way and wreak havoc in their lives. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, I also kind of forgot about Joyce. Like, you can't really forget. You can't really forget Joyce, because she's Buffy's mom. Like, you know she's around. It's just because you don't see her every day, or, you know, because Buffy doesn't see her every day, it's easier to just kind of, you know, not forget her, but let her kind of exist in the background. And I love that, like, 2 seconds on screen, and then she's kidnapped. Like, she's taken hostage. And it's kind of hysterical, because it's like, poor mm-hmm. Joyce.
Well, in a way, Joyce's arc feels like it's complete, from the fact that it was all like a "we don't know your secret identity" thing forever, with not knowing that Buffy was the Slayer. And then she knows that, and she's in on it. It's like, we can't exactly bring you in as, like, a full-time Scooby. I don't think we're really going to bring you in as Giles' love interest, even though they keep on bringing up the fact that they slept together. They will not let that go.
That's funny.
But you do bring up a good point, Selena, of course, as we're always saying, that Buffy does a great job at bringing back, like, the hyena episode. Like, that's happened.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
At the prom episode, they were saying that, like, that the hyena people that ate Flutie was brought up then, and then Willow was referencing it here, and this body swap double feature. It's cute when they do that kind of stuff. I love that they're paying attention to even the episodes that I found to be really weak or really strange. I'm kind of surprised they haven't brought up the strange puppet episode from season one. Maybe they're like me, and they're trying to pretend it never happened. That's probably for the best.
Actually, this is not a show spoiler, but I was actually going to bring up, because this episode actually incorporates music from my favorite video game of all time, Buffy Chaos Bleeds. Like, some of the music in this year's Girl was used in that. And the puppet comes back in a big way in that game.
Stop, I will just say.
Yeah, he's a playable character.
Let him rest, Josh. He was horrible the first time. Don't
so
let him come back.
Good. Like, you cannot, I'm especially, like, Mitch, you cannot play this game yet because it takes place in season 5, so you have to wait. But, or maybe it does take place in season 4. Anyway, you have to wait. But when you do, like, I need a podcast special or something about it, because it's going to be so good. And it's like a whole story, and the puppet, like, comes back, and it's really great. And
that's horrible.
And they don't forget about anything, even that. It's so fun.
You're making me want to play the game just so I can, like, hate play it just for the stupid
thing. Yes. Yes, you will. It'll be, like, I really love it, but there definitely is hate play potential, too. So it'll be a lot of fun. And the graphics are obviously awful now, because it was in, like, 2002 or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, before we get to Joyce, though, because I do want to talk about her a little bit more, but let's just talk about how amazing Eliza Dushku and Sarah Michelle Gellar are at being each other in this episode. Like, I am, every time I watch it, I'm so astounded by how good they are. And
mind
you noted
blown.
Especially Sarah, but I think both of them.
Oh, yeah. I thought Eliza Dushku was actually a little better at Buffy than Buffy is at Faith. Just, she has these, she gets the certain, like, quirks that mm-hmm. Buffy has, like the way her voice goes up at certain times mm-hmm. or like the way she plays with her hair. Like, it just felt like she was so completely changed from Faith, whereas like I could still see a little Buffy in Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, and obviously like Sarah Michelle Gellar's playing this character completely for so long that it might also just be a little bit more difficult to give her body or that role up to someone else, whereas Eliza Dushku is coming into it a little bit more. There's more of Buffy to go off of in a character study, but I just... You can really tell when you watch this episode why Joss wanted Eliza for Dollhouse. You know, like, I don't know if you guys have seen Dollhouse. That's future rewatchable. But that's basically, Eliza Dushku is the main character in that show, and she plays she's basically like an empty slate, and she takes on personalities of other people. So every episode, she's a new character, like, completely different. And then she switches in and out of her doll state, and she switches in and out of these characters, and at one point the characters blend together, and it's all so nuanced, the character work that she has to do. And you can see the birth of that in these episodes. You can see the cogs turning, being like, oh my god, this girl is amazing at this, you know? And I think that's really interesting.
That feels like the iZombie concept. Yeah, that's a kind of fun show to watch.
Oh yeah.
That type of show. Yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I can imagine Eliza doing really well at that, too. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, also, I think Sarah Michelle Gellar may have had the bigger challenge here, personally, because she was not only playing Faith, she was playing Faith playing Buffy. Whereas Eliza was just playing her playing Buffy. Like, she didn't have that third layer, so it has to be hard to, like, be interpreting someone else's interpretation of your character.
Right. Stop. That's also true.
And she was on screen.
Come on.
And as you said, Caitlin, she is on screen longer because obviously this episode, I mean, it's a Faith episode. It's also, you know, noted as a Faith-centric episode because it is ultimately about how Faith feels and feels about herself as a slayer and feels about her own morality and sort of comes to term with her sort of the goodness that being Buffy brings out in her, and you get to experience all that through Sarah Michelle Gellar, but it's still all about Faith and all about her her development, and it's so easy to forget, you know, that it's all taking place within like another actress, so to speak, because when we get to the end, you know, not to jump ahead, but you can see all of that within the changed Faith at the end. Like, she has experienced all that Buffy has, or that she has just gone through in Buffy's body, and she's come to all of these realizations about herself. That and it's so satisfying too. That's another thing about these episodes that I love, is that we have this character who's been through so much, and we see her finally, I wouldn't say make peace, that's definitely the wrong way of putting it, but we see her finally sort of embrace some of the heroism that comes with the term Slayer, and which she was always denied because Buffy already had that role. You know, like Faith, at the end of the day, she always wanted to be Buffy. She's even said it before, she, like in season 3, she was like, this was supposed to be my town. This was supposed to be my life. And Buffy never let her have that life. And it's very tragic. She's such an interesting character too.
I think it's really fun. It's really fun to see Faith inside of Buffy's body, like during the rescue, or during like at the Bronze, or even during like the Riley bit. Like, that stuff really shows a really deep character. This character of Faith is really well thought out. She always makes sense to me, even when she's being insane, and like when she was murdering, like she was murdering people left and right last season. She was sleeping with Xander. Like, all she was just kind of acting what seemed to be erratic, but to me it made sense because she's always looking at this Slayer v. Slayer role. She's in a power struggle with Buffy. You know, even if Buffy's not around, she's always trying to prove her better, better than Buffy. Mm-hmm. And even as I'm going to call her, remember, if you can see in the doc, I wrote Fa Buffy for defining when it was like a body switch. When Fa Buffy is talking to, I think, Spike, and she's like, "Oh yeah, because I'm just so joyless and everything." And it's funny to me that Faith thinks that Buffy is just so joyless and not fun. I think she's looking for an excuse to say that Buffy isn't good or isn't someone she'd want to be. When in the end of the day, Faith really does want to be Buffy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She wants to be the hero. She wants to be the good guy, but she's sort of, I mean, for whatever complicated reasons, and her sort of casting herself, like, she's like, if I can't be the hero, I'm going to be the villain because I'm going to be something. And I think that's sort of a really interesting, again, you know, the title of the second episode is Who Are You? And it's clearly like, who is Faith at the core of her being? When she can be anything, she chooses to be Buffy. You know, that's very telling, I think, about Faith. Yeah, so good.
It seems like in a lot of ways she's looking for connection, but when she gets it, it freaks her out. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, and she, I feel like all the sleeping around and everything she does kind of is to mask that. Like, she tries to minimize it and maybe like make it go away, but she really does want it. And then like she gets that moment with Riley after they've slept together, and it just freaks her out. It seems like it's so intense, and like that, the prospect of what that could be just freaks her out. And it's so interesting to think of, like, what does she want? Well, it does seem like she genuinely wants like connection and love, because that's kind of what she got from the mayor. And we see when she's watching the video from the mayor, she gets this really soft expression, like she really loved him. And so, like, and you know, in the dream, like, it's always comes back to the mayor. So she found connection in that way, but then in other ways, like, I think it freaks her out. And it's so interesting because Buffy is, the character is all about her connections with her friends, with whoever her love interest is. Like, it's those connections that make her strong, and Faith has never really had that. And I think in that desire to be Buffy, she wants those connections, but because she's never had it, it freaks her out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think that's a really good point. And it's also interesting to get to see the character of Buffy through the eyes of Faith, because I think, and it's something that I know we keep coming back to on the show, is what kind of a character is Buffy? You know, there's a lot of people, both fans of the show and newbies and everyone, who's like, well, I don't really like Buffy, or I don't really always understand Buffy, and I don't always, like, whatever, but I think in this episode especially, but the show does this a lot, is sort of very, very good about not letting Buffy the character be on a pedestal. You know, Buffy, her, like, it's self-important is not the word I'm looking for, but I don't know how else to say it. Like, she takes herself very seriously, but the show is very good at being like, you know, even with Faith sort of in that scene with Spike, when Faith sort of has that, you know, you don't like, you hate me because I, like, I'm a stuck up with no sense of fun or whatever she says. And it's like, you, as the audience, you go, yeah, you kind of are sometimes. But I think that's what makes Buffy the character so great. And it makes the show reflect that so well, because they do sort of allow Buffy to be, to go to these extreme places, but then also to pull her back and make a little bit of fun of her. It's sort of, it's to a lesser extent what Angel does with the character of Angel. Like, it doesn't take her down that much as Angel does, but it's still sort of a nice antidote to how seriously Buffy herself takes everything. And it's one of the reasons why I think Buffy is such a good main character. I don't know. I know that you like her, Caitlin. I don't know what the newbies feel.
I was going to say, I definitely like Buffy. I don't dislike her. She has been hard to, like, pin down. It's, you know, like, when you watch some shows that are kind of centered on one character, like, for instance, Arrow, you know Oliver so well. Like, you get to know him so well because you're seeing other people through his eyes, and you're seeing the world through his eyes, at least to start. And so here we got a bit of that, but, like, it was almost more we were seeing Buffy through everyone else's eyes at the beginning of the series. Like, it didn't necessarily seem like we were getting to know Buffy. We were getting to know the whole world of Sunnydale, not necessarily seeing who exactly Buffy is. So I have trouble knowing how she would react to things, but I definitely like her. She's different and she's complicated, to say the least. Mm-hmm. So I definitely like her. It's just, I don't necessarily know if I know her very well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny, and I know that's something that you guys have talked about before, and I sort of, I mean, I come in with it obviously with a very different perspective, because I actually think that Buffy is such a complete character, exactly because you can't always predict how she's going to react to things, because she is a lot more than just one thing. And I think that actually goes for all the characters. You know, I was reading this really interesting article about Buffy the other day, and about why it's such a lasting show. And one of it was that, you know, you look at all of the different characters and you look at them in the first episode and in the first season and second season, and none of them are what they appear to be, including Buffy. Like, none of them, even now we're halfway through the show, and all of the characters have evolved and changed, and they're constantly shifting based on whatever is happening. They're constantly adapting, they're constantly evolving, they're constantly growing up. And I think, for me at least, and obviously this is a different experience for everyone who watches, but my personal experience is always that Buffy, just like all the other characters on the show, is constantly trying to figure out who she wants to be and constantly trying to figure out who she has to be. And for Buffy, she is, like, by definition, she is juxtaposition or contradiction, because she is two different people. She's the girl Buffy and she's the Slayer Buffy. She's who she wants to be versus who she has to be versus who she is at the core of herself. And I think all of that, when I look at the show, I see that as a very complete character. But that might also have to do with the fact that I've seen it more than once. So I, always hard to put myself in the shoes of watching it for the first time.
Yeah. Well, and you have the benefit of, you've seen the entire series. You know where she starts and where she ends. And you know, mm-hmm. you know, you have the history of knowing all of that about her to now see her in a different light, like, you can get to know her better. So yeah, I think that just is one of those things that upon rewatches, you may get to know her better.
That's what I was going to say. Like, yeah, I just don't have an opinion on her yet, because I haven't seen the whole show to know the difference of whether or not I'm going to end up liking her. I think I need to see what she's going to do with Angel himself and how she's going to, because we know going into this that, Angel will have one more season left over after Buffy. I'm wondering if she'll also have some more content. I don't know at all, so this is not a spoiler, because I do not know. I wonder if she'll be in that last season of Angel. I don't know. Maybe she will be. She could still have more influence there. I don't know if I'm going to be able to understand her character, even if she's not in that last season of Angel. And I still need to learn more about that character to learn more about her. I think I need to complete this series, this Buffy Worlds, until I can really feel for her. And I'm not even going to include the books and the comics and the video games in my analysis of her. That's a lot. I'm just going to try and stick with the series and my interpretation of her, because I feel like you could go around in circles forever in this large of a series and try and discover if you like a character or not. I'm going to go with just like the TV show that aired. That's where I'm going to start. And if I feel like I want more, I'll go after that.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's pretty much where I come from as well, because I don't really read the comics. but no, I'm basically like TLDR, like she has a lot of layers, and I think something like this episode, sort of going back to the return of Faith and Joyce and how they fit into the puzzle, like nothing that the characters do or say or think or feel is like off the cuff. You know, it's not like, oh, we need them to do this for this storyline. It's always like, well, they're going to do and think this. What's going to happen as a result of that? So from that perspective, that's where we are. Where are we in the doc? Let's see. I want to talk a little bit about Faith's coma dreams. She obviously, we touched on this a little bit. She has her picnic with the mayor. We have her changing the sheets with Buffy. And we have Buffy chasing Faith through the graveyard. And actually, this is actually my favorite scene. So I'm not going to talk as much about it now because I want to come back to it. But I do want to say what is so interesting about this is that in Faith's dreams, Buffy is the villain. You know, Faith is the good one and Buffy is the evil one. And I think this, again, comes down to how Faith wants to see herself and how she feels like Buffy took her job, which she actually did, you know, literally.
And Faith is not only, like, the good one. She's basically helpless. Like, she doesn't stand and fight at any point. She, like, runs away. Like, she doesn't fight until, like, the moment in the grave at the end, but like she's not the character we recognize at all, like in her waking life. She's very much like demure and help, like she's a damsel basically.
Right. Yeah. It's an interesting sort of seeing how Faith views herself as opposed to Buffy. Did you guys take anything else away from the dreams?
I found it to be really interesting, too, that we're, meant to look at Faith as being a damsel for the first time, because she's never really felt that way to us at all. And I think that shows to us that she, on the outside, is only putting out this really hard exterior, which once again is broken down by her tears after she's with Riley, and, for Buffy is with Riley, and even where she feels sad for the fact that she can't really be the hero that she wants to be because she's gone down a bad path. So she's not going to be able to save more bronze girls. It's a sad character to see, because this coma gives us a really great insight into the fact that Faith is so broken, and the mayor was the closest thing she had to a healthy relationship in quite a long time. She's still young. She's still trying to develop, and no one's really given her the time of day. And that's always been the hardest part about it all. It's definitely a jealousy toward Buffy thing, but jealousy is rearing its ugly head in a horrible way, making her like a psychopathic murderer. And I hope that I hope she comes back from this all still, not just for my ship, but just for the character herself. I really like Eliza. I really like Faith. I want to see her do something good, or even maybe even do like a Spike thing, like be morally gray. He's a whole nother story here, but maybe if she needs to do that for a bit, I'm okay. I feel like that she's an interesting villain, if that's what we're going to call her here. Like super fans, even do you guys think that she's like, is she morally gray already, or can we say yet that she's evil? Because she does save the parishioners and she does save that bronze girl.
Yeah, I don't think of Faith as evil. Like, I've never thought of her as evil. I think of her as messed up, certainly. But I think it's very clear in this episode that Buffy, the character, again coming back to the character of Buffy and her flaws, is very quick to define Faith, whereas Faith's definition of herself is a lot more complicated, and her realizing, I think that's, again, with lines and taking the favorite stuff sort of in, like, taking it early, I think, like, one of the things that I love so much about these two episodes is when Faith goes, you know, I am not a killer, I am the slayer. It's her sort of reclaiming that title for herself. She's lost her way, and I'm not saying she's found it, but I think it takes a lot for her to realize that she's not here to be a killer. She's not here to be an ender of life, so to speak. She's here to be the slayer, and she's here to do the right thing. And I think she sort of equates Buffy with that, which makes it a negative for her. But when she sort of reclaims that title for herself, I think that's when she begins to change, you know? I think it's much more complicated than simply being good or evil.
Oh, definitely. I don't think Faith is evil. I do think she's a villain, but only mm-hmm. when you think about the roles of villain and hero. In Faith's mm-hmm. eyes, she's the hero and Buffy is the villain. In Buffy's eyes, Buffy is the hero and Faith is the villain. So
right.
she is the villain now because we're watching this from Buffy's perspective, and that is the mm-hmm. quote-unquote right perspective. But there's still a lot to Faith. She's still figuring out who she is and where she fits into all of this now that she is, you know, there's two slayers. Like, she's still trying to find her way. So evil, definitely not, but just complicated is more or less.
Yeah. That's a much better way of putting it. Like, you're right. She is a villain, and she is, from a moral perspective, she has done villainous things, and he has been on the evil, this side of evil. But she's a good villain. She's the best kind of villain is the one that like you can see why they think they're on the bright side, you know.
Exactly. We talk a lot about like reluctant heroes. I feel like Faith is a reluctant villain because mm-hmm. she doesn't really go over to like I would say she's at her most evil towards the end of season 3, and that's after she kills the mayor's aide. And mm-hmm. at that point, like, she is dealing with her guilt and, well, refusing to deal with her guilt over that, basically. And that's what comes up for me when she says, I'm not a killer. Like, is because mm-hmm. for her, it's only been like a couple of months since that happened. Like, it's been a long time for us, but she was asleep the whole time. So it's been a relatively short time for her. So I feel like after that and her, like, she wasn't getting any, like, the support she was looking for, basically, after she killed the mayor's aide, that she sort of just embraced the villain thing and went with it. So it was like, well, you won't let me be the hero. I'm going to be the villain. And so, but as she becomes Buffy in this episode, like, I think that starts falling away because she's watched the video where she's with the mayor and she realized she's lost this entire reason for being the villain at all. And
right.
then,
right.
because it was to go, it was his plan, and he embraced her and loved her, so she went with him because she was getting that acceptance. So she embraced this idea of being a villain with him. He's gone. She's lost that. All she has left is, you know, to try and figure things out for herself, which we've obviously seen she's not very good at. But she has these, like, unconscious desires of being good, like Buffy. And so having that experience in her body, like, basically for me, like, peels away those last bits of villain for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It's so interesting. But so before we get to the actual body swap part of the episodes, I had a note that I wanted to bring up because I don't know if you guys have noticed, but Buffy still hasn't told Riley about Angel, and in this episode she, like, very deliberately does not tell Riley about Angel, and I just think that's interesting. Like, it's an interesting facet to the whole thing that she sort of very much avoids sharing that part of her past with him, and I was wondering if you guys had any thoughts on that.
Well, in addition to not wanting to have the ex talk, because I'm sure that's, you know, everybody's favorite conversation to have, I think it's kind of telling that I have a feeling she knows Riley won't understand her having any sort of feelings for a vampire or whatever they call them at the initiative. I forget what they call them.
Hostiles.
Thank you. Yeah. Like, I don't think he'll understand. I don't think he'll see that Angel is not one of these guys. Like, when Riley saw Spike, like, the only reason he didn't throw him in cuffs is because the whole team was kind of there and didn't seem to be reacting. So he just kind of let him go. But I think Riley would have a hard time getting his mind around having a relationship with or any sort of feelings for one of those creatures. And so rather than trying to talk about it, Buffy just avoids the topic at all costs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably accurate. So the mayor, obviously we're getting to the crux of the episode, which is the body swap. The mayor left her a little body swapper tool, which, by the way, is hilarious that those just exist. I always thought that was funny. And he also tells her that she's now basically destined to go out with a bang, which is interesting. And I guess it's Mitch's question, but I'll ask it for him. Did you guys guess that the body swap happened, or did you, like, did it take the 5x5 to make you realize that they switched bodies right at the end of this year's girl?
It took me till the 5x5. Something had happened, but I wasn't sure exactly. And then, yeah, as soon as she said it, I went. So,
what do you guys think about that trope and how it was used here?
I like the movie Freaky Friday a lot, so that's not a complaint in me saying that it's a Freaky Friday trope. I love Jamie Lee Curtis, and I love Lindsay Lohan, and I feel there's an original to this too. But I think that that's fun in a way because it gives the actors a lot of stuff to chew on, and I can imagine, especially Sarah, as we're saying, playing Buffy. That took a lot of research. She must have had to sit down and just watch Faith's episodes a lot, or even just Eliza's, like, demo reels or something, just to understand and have, like, an acting coach. Like, this wasn't you can tell this was, like, kind of like Hush, like a really highly produced episode. Like, they did a lot of stuff to get this as polished as it ended up being. And that's where I appreciate this episode from the fact that it wasn't a lazy body swap, like a Disney Channel kind of body swap. Like, it was very well thought out, and it made me very happy to see these actors do all that they could to sell the fact that they were playing these body swapped girls.
Right, and I think that's sort of an interesting, because obviously, like, you can say, oh, well, this was like body swap trope or whatever, but I think when a show sort of, or a story in general, sort of takes it to a new level, it's kind of goes beyond the trope, if you will, because I think when you look at the story that this episode told, and if you look at the development that Faith went through, you could argue that they would never have been able to tell the story without this plot device. Like, it wasn't so much, oh, that's fun, let's do a body swap episode, it'll be hilarious. Like, it was legitimately, they wanted these characters to have this experience of being each other. Like, as I said, ever since Faith was first introduced, there has been this element of Faith feeling like Buffy took her life, and Buffy feeling like Faith came in to take her life, and now it's like literally they are taking each other's lives, so it feels like a culmination of their entire arcs to that point. And I think when they use, like, when stories use, like, quote unquote tropes so well, like, you remember why this type of story exists, like, it feels like the body swap trope exists to tell this story, if that makes sense. And I really love that.
And I don't think Faith can end up in the place she does without being this. Buffy.
Exactly.
Like, as herself, she would never have those moments that, like, she literally has to be Buffy to have the arc that she has.
Right. If she would never have ended up in that church, like, she never even would have gone out, that girl she saves behind the bronze. Like, she never would have, she wouldn't have been in that place if she hadn't felt like she had to be Buffy. And that's what leads her to this. And I think that's brilliant. I mean, you might even say, like, it's sort of an extreme version of back in season 3 when Willow had to dress up as Vamp Willow. Like, and she sort of found a little bit of that free spirit within her, you know, towards the end. She was like, I'm not going to do your homework to that guy or whatever happened. Like, this is like the bigger version of that. Absolutely. I totally agree.
Yeah.
And Okay.
I was gonna say, I've seen a lot of body swapping on TV in my time. I mean, they do it quite a bit on Vampire Diaries, and yeah. Smallville used it a lot. Like, people were constantly having to play each other. And I think it's a really fun trope, because not only are you having to look at a character that you or an actor that you've been watching for seasons play someone else, but in the same body. So you're looking at them do a totally new thing. You also have the characters seeing perspectives in a totally weird, crazy way. Like, everyone else is still seeing the character, you know, whose body you're in, and you have to try and, like, meet their expectations. Like, you have to try and see yourself or this person from a different point of view. So I love body swap trope. So when I found out that we were getting that, like, it always adds something for me. And so that was all very exciting.
Yeah. I'm still, by the way, Caitlin, I'm still waiting for them to do it on Supernatural. Like, I cannot believe they haven't done it yet.
I mean, there was a body swap, just not
right,
a
but
brother.
Not the body swap, yeah. You know? Like, that's not, that doesn't count. Did you want to say something, Mitch?
Yeah, no, I pretty much said all that I meant to, and the fact that I just love Freaky Friday, and any more representation of that trope in media is always going to make me happy.
Right. So, speaking of representation, so in the Bronze, we had some interesting sort of developments as Faith, or in the, not even just in the Bronze, when Buffy was Faith, not only did it allow for Faith to experience some stuff, it also allowed for some things to happen that would not have happened if Buffy was in her own body. One of them obviously being the Faith flirting with Spike, which was interesting. And I'm wondering, like, I really love this. Like, I genuinely really love this. I think these two actors and characters have, like, off the charts chemistry, and I think it was so much fun. Like, the show is literally, like, finding ways to show off that chemistry in weird ways, and this was one of them. And
let's be honest, Sarah can
Spike
have chemistry
so
with the brick wall. She has amazing
That's
chemistry
true.
With Seth and with Eliza and with James. It's just like this girl can just show up and just own it. I just feel like there's never going to be someone I'm not going to ship her with. The fact that Sarah is so good at her job, and she seems like such a welcoming and awesome person. And you're right, it's such a fun way of exploring this between Sarah and James being Buffy and Spike here. I loved this.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, let's be real, Spike was into it 100%. Like, that was crazy. Did you guys have any thoughts, Chris and Caitlin?
Spike likes a lady that can kick his ass, basically. Like, he was pretty whipped by Drew, and yeah. So he likes the dominant lady. I'll just say that.
Speaking of Spike's ladies, where's Harmony? She hasn't shown up in a while. She's bound to do something in the finale, right? She was in the last finale and she got bitten.
What happened? So when did we last see her? What
she was,
happened
her
to
and
her?
Xander had a scuffle while she was
working. Oh, yeah, my favorite scene. And that's the last we saw? Interesting.
Yeah, and she might have been seen walking alone on campus as...
Oh, yeah, they walked away.
I think Tara and Buffy were also doing the same, if I'm getting those characters correct.
Anya.
But yeah. Anya, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And then what else do we have? Well, then obviously, like, in the Bronze as well, we had at that moment when For Buffy, I have no idea which one it is.
I try to define it is the first letter is the body of the person. So Buffy is the body, therefore Buffaith. As opposed to Faith is the body for when Buffy's in the body. The soul of whatever. Ah!
I don't want to talk about the body. Well, let's see. So Buffaith also has such a very interesting exchange with Tara, which is obviously before or after. I don't even know when Willow... Oh, yeah, that must be after, because Willow says to Tara, you know, I like having something that's mine. And Tara goes, I am, you know, yours. And then in the next episode, we sort of have the culmination of that when Faith sort of... very frankly sort of reflects what may or may not be going on there. And I want to know what the newbies are thinking about this.
I was going to say, wait, say that again, because I'm not sure I followed.
Well, I don't really know how to say it.
like, I really didn't follow.
What is the spoiler? I don't know. What did you guys think about Tara's arc in these two episodes?
I have to defer to Kristen. That's the most I can say.
Pass the buck. Put me on the spot. Thanks a lot. This is so
stupid. You'll understand, okay? You will understand.
Well, they're not the focus, so clearly, you know, we're just supposed to see that Willow and Tara they're getting closer. Like, there's development there because Buffy is off being Faith, and Faith is, you know, being Buffy and is not looking to her friends for help and isn't, you know, all of that. Willow and Tara are off doing their own thing for a lot of it. And so, like, you see them getting closer, you see them, you know, doing spells together and connecting on a different level. So clearly there's something going on there, and it's more and more and more serious as Tara, you know, says, like, I am yours. Like, it's really adorable. So I don't know if I have a lot of, like, really deep thoughts about it, but I like it.
Same. I think it's so, like, it's such a good progression of, like, the bond between them. And I think over the especially over these two episodes, but really over the last, like, five or six episodes, the way that they're sort of getting closer and everything about it, I just think it's so, like, it's such a well done story. Like, it's one of those, like, really well done stories, I think, that we sort of are enjoying seeing develop, I guess.
Yeah, and
we just talk about
rushed. It feels like it's taken a natural progression from friends and friends that have a shared interest that, you know, is really important to Willow. And now it's more than friendship. And now it's starting to kind of move somewhere else.
Right. And let's just, you know, seems to be the progression. Yeah, the tension is for sure there. And I think that's one of the things. I mean, obviously, you know, speaking about what the show is doing with it so far, I think it's very well done. I really do. I think it's, like, even seeing what's, like, on TV and today and stuff, I think that this is, like, a very, very good, the show does a really good job.
I know I kind of put this in the odds and ends bit, but now that we're talking about the yours thing that Tara says, they're doing this spell. The spell, to me, kind of felt like a means to an end to show Willow, quote-unquote, like, I don't know if I want to say this. Are we, like, too PG to say the word that I want to say?
No, you're fine.
Okay, because it seems like Willow orgasms on screen from the way that they play it. And yeah, I know, obviously, sure, this isn't a sex scene, but it felt like it was...
Or was it, though? Right. See, that's the thing, is that this is, like, one of the things when you see the more sensual side of the magic that they do, and I definitely think there's a case to be made that this is, like, a stand-in for,
like, it doesn't even have to be that the character Willow had an orgasm. It's the fact that they presented it as if it was in like a strange sexual context that you could interpret it as that. But I mean, it's weird to me, because is this them saying they want Tara and Willow to have sex and they can't show it because this is the time that we're in? Is that where we are with this? I don't know what's going on, honestly. I don't even have a ship name for them. I guess they would be Wera. Yeah, Wera works. So I don't know what's going on with Wera. I'm really confused, honestly.
Yeah, same. Which is, like, why this discussion is the way it is, because obviously, like, who knows?
Like, I don't know where this is going at all, and I'm just sitting here, and I'm like, Kristen, you have to say something, because I don't know what to say. Like, this is just, I'm so baffled, because it is and it isn't, and it's like, because, like, we have Faith's line where she says, Willow's not driving stick anymore, and I wanted to be like, not necessarily, she could just be close friends with Tara, because I'm still, I'm like, I don't, like, is this a thing now? Like, is Wera officially, is it canon since that spell scene? That's where I'm at.
Well, they haven't, like, flat out said to each other, like, I want to be with you. Like, I want a relationship. I want to be romantically involved. Like, the two of them haven't had that conversation. God knows if they'll ever, because they're both kind of awkward. So it may never happen. it may just progress into a relationship, but because of that, we're seeing these two girls who have bonded over their magic and over the spells they've done. And this is connecting on a whole new plane because Tara literally was Willow's anchor to this world as she crossed over. Like, that was the whole point, that they had to be connected in that, in the little circle thingy, is that, you know, Willow needed someone to anchor her. And so in that, it was a totally new level of them connecting and getting to know each other. So on top of whatever just human feelings they have, this whole magical connection, I feel like, is even more intense for them. And so now that that's happened, I'm expecting to see them have more of a, okay, are we together conversation? Like, that, I feel like that's the next step from here.
Because we do have a lot of scenes of them alone talking about themselves, like, as a unit.
Yeah.
They talk about that more than you would expect just friends to do. So that's what leads me down the path of saying, like, we're going to get to the point where these two characters, I guess, and I don't know if this is progressive enough, too progressive for this period of television, but I guess they're going to have a conversation where they're going to either just kiss, or they're going to say, do you want to kiss? Like, they're going to probably get there, is where I'm seeing this going. I don't know. I think it's a great thing to do, but I'm not familiar enough with even the time period, from the fact that I was so young when the show was airing, to know if there were any other LGBT representations in terms of what could actually be shown and what needed to just be alluded to. So I don't know. Like, I could only think of really like Will and Grace, and I think that that was even maybe a couple years after this that it started. I don't know.
I think Dawson's Creek was on around the same time as the show, and you had Jack and his struggle at the same, like, that has to be right around the same time, if not the exact same time.
Oh, so we're to the point where these characters could kiss on screen, is what I'm saying, and that would be something that would not even be, like, as horrible, quote-unquote, as it would have been, let's say, 10 years prior, right? Like, that mold's already been broken by TV?
Not that much at that point. No, Dawson's Creek was on, I think this is must be in 2000 that this takes place. Dawson's Creek was on from 98 till 2003. In the history of LGBT representation on TV, I mean, just speaking in general about history of LGBT representation, there was some at this point. Like, also thinking about Friends had Carol and Susan.
That's true.
Very early, actually. They never get enough credit for that.
Well, it's probably because there's so much more homophobia in that show overall. So it's tough to, like, say, but you did this one thing right.
Oh, but they did it so right, though.
They did.
Welcome to Friends Rewatchable. No, but yeah, no, anyway, I didn't want to butt into the conversation. I just wanted to chime in with that.
Kristen and I are in a really interesting position as newbies watching the show, because I think we're meant to be asking these questions as a newbie, and I think we're following it the right pace. And I like that. Sure. I like that Kristen's in the same page with me, that we're like, will they, won't they, from like 500 different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Yeah. It's part of the interesting thing about watching Buffy for the first time, especially now, just have that sort of this conversations, I guess. But staying off of Mitch's musings and Kristen's crackpot theories for a second, I guess we'll get back to those later. I wanted to, as well, to talk a little bit about Riley, just in the sense of Riley obviously sleeps with Faith, and this leaves Buffy very upset by the end of the episode, and I just wanted to know if you guys think that it's fair for Buffy to be mad at Riley for what he did, because it's something that I always wonder when I rewatch it. Because my instinct is always to be mad at Riley, but in this particular case, he doesn't actually deserve it.
He's so adorable and corn-fed. How could you hate him?
See, for me, I don't think it's a matter of, is it fair for her to be mad? I think this is like, it's one of the unforgivables. Like, it's an unforgivable blunder on his part. He didn't do anything wrong that he knows of, but for her to know that he slept with Faith, which is what happened, and not, like, she can't imagine that he couldn't see it wasn't her. Like, that's, for her, it's like, how dare you? How did you not know it wasn't me? And so for Buffy to get over that is going to be pretty major. I don't think she will. I think it's going to end up being the thing that kind of drives a wedge between them. She'll try and get over it, but I really don't think she will. And so I don't think it's necessarily is it fair for her to be mad? I think it's more of a, is she going to be able to get past it?
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I mean, I think it also goes to, you know, what she says to Giles, like, you were a demon and I knew it was you. Like,
right.
Why can't other people do that for me, especially someone who is supposed to love me? Like, you got that close and intimate with me and didn't realize it was not me.
Tara knew. How could Riley not
know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. For sure. Yeah, that's a good point. And the last thing that we sort of have to talk about is pretty much like the Watchers come back, which I think is another super interesting part of this episode.
The Wet Watchers. They've sort of,
the Wet Watchers. Yeah.
Scandalous. Like, it sounds like a wet t-shirt contest kind of idea. Like, here come the Wet Watchers.
Wet Woo! Watcher contest. Yeah. Can't wet wait for Giles contest. To participate in that.
I hope so. We were forearms. Yeah.
No, but no, it's interesting because we haven't seen them. It's another storyline that has been sort of resting for a long time, in a coma, if you will, and now it's back, and it's, you know, they almost take Buffy away, and they even allude to the fact that they don't really care if it's really her because she doesn't work for them anymore, and they have no, but they're still existing, and that's what's so interesting about the Watchers Council. They have no slayers. But they're still the Watchers Council, and they're still running around and sort of, I think, I don't know. The Watchers Council is an enigma to me. I think they're so fascinating.
Yeah,
they're evil. I liked that at the very beginning, it's brought up, like, because Buffy's talking to Riley, and he's trying to figure out what to do. And she's mm-hmm. like, oh, yeah, I used to work for this council, and I quit. Yeah. Like, so it's... Mm-hmm. in the back of your mind right there, and then they come back. I was like, oh, very clever.
Oh, how convenient. Yes. And no, I had another thing actually. I'm sorry, this is the last thing now on my, at least in the things that I wanted to bring up, is that like last time I was in Rewatchable, which was last week actually. Oh, anyway, so that's not that long ago, but I was, that we were talking about how why vampires fear Christian symbols, like religion, like the cross. And I said, oh, well, that's gonna get brought up like really soon, and now it's this, because now, like, we literally see the vampire sort of break with that tradition of them. Adam basically says, he's like, it's just an illusion, like, you shouldn't actually fear the cross, it's just like a superstition, which I thought was really interesting. And in an episode where Adam himself is kind of like vying to be demon Jesus, you know, like,
he
there's
is.
Some very interesting stuff going on here.
Demon, I love that Jesus, you call him Demon that's Jesus. Perfect.
Yeah, that's so
but
perfect.
It's pretty much what he's trying to be, you know?
It's true, that's perfect. That's the episode title.
I need some fan art with him having those little spikes out in the form of a cross, and that's like the representation of Demon Jesus.
Oh my god.
Oh boy.
Well, anyway, that's the point of it was that, like, they're tackling that question of religion in a really interesting way, and I thought the timing of it was really good, because when this group of newbies were watching, this is the point when you went, actually, why is it a cross that they fear? And then two episodes later, the show was like, actually, why is it a cross? You know, and I think that's cool.
Yeah, it's kind of just like Buffy admits that it has to adapt some kind of mythos if it wants to create the vampire idea in our mind. Because other than blood-sucking, you pretty much know, like, holy stuff equals vampires don't like it. That's pretty common. Yeah. They didn't have to take that, but I think the fact that they did allowed them to introduce us to, like, this supernatural show, and that this supernatural show was one that broke a lot of boundaries, as we're often talking about. And that's fine. I'm okay that they kind of followed it closely here. It's yeah. cool. The Vampire Diaries needed to do something different, and they did their own thing with vampires. But here, I think that Buffy did everything it needed to do, and the way that it creates its vampires, there's some ambiguity to it all still that I still don't like. I still don't like the fact that we have vampires drinking coffee or alcohol or smoking cigarettes or even eating food, because that just seems like it doesn't work in any functionality. They don't have a metabolism that's working. It just doesn't work. I don't even know, because their heart's not beating, their blood's not flowing.
Well, Spike doesn't have breath, so how does he smoke? Angel can't do mouth to mouth.
Have breath. They just don't have to use it. Like, it's the same. Like, when they drink the blood, it goes into their veins and it makes them function. That's how it works.
Magic. Well, that's how I'm going to say magic. That's all I need
Angel
to say.
Angel couldn't do mouth to mouth to save Buffy in the season one finale.
True. Maybe he just didn't want to. Did you ever think of that, Caitlin?
Pretty sure that's not true.
This is like flashbacks to Pushing Daisies. Don't think about the science unrewatchable. Just let it happen.
Well, anyway.
That meat pie shudder. Oof.
Oh my gosh. Anything else that you guys wanted to bring up before we move into favorite scenes and lines?
Isn't Riley cute?
We covered everything.
His little outfit he has on when he's going to church, and I'm like, ah!
It's like too crazy. He's like a doll. He's like a Ken doll. Like, I don't like it.
He's very intended to be a little perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
I was checking everybody's favorite scenes to make sure I didn't bring it up if somebody already had it, but I don't think they have. I love the scene with Giles and Xander, and they come across Spike. Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Like, I was
that is actually my favorite line, but yes, for sure.
Yeah, but like, that whole scene is just, it's kind of genius. Like, of course, if they're skulking about looking for Faith or whoever, Adam at the time, I forget who they were looking for, of course they're going to come across Spike hiding in an alley, and it just, that whole thing was hysterical.
And at the end, they were just like, we're dumb.
We're dumb.
Yeah. Destroyed, so he's pretty bored these days.
Yeah, that's true.
He's just telling. You know, he watches soaps. Mm-hmm. I'm totally with Natalie on this whole discussion of hot blood versus cold blood murdering of demons and or vampires. Yeah, they really don't need to keep Spike alive. I'm sorry, he's not even helping them anymore. Like, they see him here, he's threatening them. He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna guide Faith your way and tell her where you are." And you know what? Everyone's just like, that kind of sucks. Like, no one takes him seriously.
What would they do? Okay, could you imagine Xander and Giles, they're like, okay, time for you to die, Spike, and they hold him to the wall. He can't defend himself, and they're like, you're dead now. Like, for them to become that kind of, like, vigilante justice people, like, I just don't think they would do that.
It's like totally hurting, it's like hurting a muzzled animal. Like,
yeah, it's like hurting a lion in a cage. It's right. Like Harambe all over again.
Oh,
like,
no.
Too soon. Oh, boy. Yeah, no, but it just, yeah, there's something that just doesn't feel right about them just putting Spike out of his misery because he can't fight back.
Right. Like,
he needs to be able to fight back. Then they can take him out. Like,
it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. It's like, it is like a lion in a cage. Like, I think that's sort of a good metaphor, because if that lion got out of his cage, it would for sure eat you. But it's not in a cage. No, it's not out there. It's in the cage. It's fine. It's not hurting you, as you know.
Right. And it can't hurt anyone else. So
yeah,
there's no,
you know what it is? I think the Scoobies are well aware that Faith has, like, super tracking skills. Like, literally, she seems like she has a superpower for this thing, because she knows where Giles' house is really quickly. She never seems to have been there before. And she also knows how to get to Riley's dorm room after Willow's just like, hey, you going to Riley? She's like, yes, and like punches in numbers in head and figures out where he lives. That was so strange, and that's why it doesn't matter if Spike is going to reveal anything about them to her, because he's pretty useless when you have that kind of superpower like Faith.
Well, anyway, let's move on into our favorite scenes and lines, and maybe we'll get back to that discussion. It may or may not be someone's favorite line. So, favorite scenes for this year's Girl. Well, mine was pretty much the opening sequences of Faith dreaming about her picnic with the mayor, the scene in the bedroom, which is obviously a very important scene. For various reasons, and her basically just dreaming that she is the innocent victim and Buffy is evil, because I think it's an interesting subversion of how the characters see themselves and each other. And Caitlin, what was yours?
Mine was when Faith kidnaps Joyce, and I feel like it's very telling too, because she finds Buffy's mail and is like, Buffy hasn't been here, and I had not forgotten about Joyce. I had actually the last couple episodes been like, we haven't seen Joyce in a while.
Yeah.
And then, But, like, I think it works well, too, because, like, Buffy's in college. So, like, kids go away to college and they get so engrossed in their college life that they kind of put their parents on the back burner. So, like, it makes sense. But I love the whole thing because Joyce is, like, you can kind of see where Buffy gets some of her nerve because she's, like, sitting straight back and she's just, like, it makes you look psychotic and are you going to slit my throat already? Like, yes. I was so proud of her in those moments. And then Buffy bursts through the window, like, so badass.
I know. I love that, Buffy. Too. Deus Ex Buffy, yeah, for sure. But I do love that scene, too. And I love Joyce in that moment. I think she has a lot of that same nerve that Buffy does. And I'm so glad that Buffy came back. It's sort of very, like, fist pump moment. And Kristen, what was yours?
Mine is definitely Tara and Willow, like, on recon, and the whole thing that went on. My favorite line is actually from the scene, too, but just the whole, like, Willow's like, all right, we're on, you know, we're out looking for Faith, but we're not actually, like, gonna do anything. We just need to see if we can find her. Like, that whole dynamic and, like, describing that to Tara was all really fun and just really, really goofy and silly for them. I loved it.
And Mitch?
Mine is when Buffy and Faith are fighting for their love again and again and again, but this time they're in the house and there's about to be a body swap. But Faith knows that she needs to do something because she's losing the battle to Buffy. So she's kind of letting Buffy get in some really good hits, but she still stays concentrated on her task of getting this device up and running. I love that concentration on Faith's face where she's just like, I gotta take some hard hits, but it's gonna be worth it because I have the ultimate trump card here. No pun intended. I feel like I can't even say that phrase anymore. It's so sad.
No, it's ruined forever.
It is ruined. It's so epic the way that this happens. I love that whole body swap special effect and the way that little gear comes out on her hand. It's very, like, steampunky to the way that it's like a, you know, high technology that still uses gears and stuff. It was really cool looking. And then in the way that it's just smashed immediately because Buffy realizes that she's now been body swapped. She's like, I want to keep this. And she thinks so quickly just to stomp on it. All of that is so epic and so quick for Faith to think of. I really like that.
Yeah, true. And then comes our favorite lines. Mine was the one that we talked about a little bit before, which is when Spike encounters Giles and Xander in the alley and they ask him, you know, if he's seen Faith, and he goes, this is what I'll do. I'll head out, I'll find this girl, I'll tell her exactly where you all are, and then watch as she kills you. Can't anyone of your damn little Scooby Club actually try to remember that I hate you all?
That was some nice
Spike. Thanks. I love that. I love it, and I also love that even as he's proving his evilness, he still feels the need to tip them off that he's evil. It's like, if he was truly evil, then he would be like, yeah, yeah, I'll tell her, I'll help you, and then he would go behind their back, right? But that's not what he does. It's like, please remember that I'll kill you if I get the chance, you know? I think that's kind of funny. He's fair game in his evilness, at least.
I'll drop it soon enough. He's a little puppy. He'll be trained.
Well, he is evil. You are like one of the Scoobies in this scene, Mitch. You need to remember that he hates them all and that he's evil.
I hope it isn't going to bite us in the ass in the finale. That would suck. If me and the Scoobies were all like, he is evil. Crap, he was right this whole time.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, we should have really paid attention to that sooner.
Caitlin, what was yours?
So mine is after Riley does the whole, who's Faith? And then Buffy and Willow are walking, and Willow goes, what did you tell him? And Buffy says, the truth, that she's my wacky identical cousin from England, and whenever she visits, hijinks ensue. And Willow replies, it's good that you two have such an honest relationship.
That was a good one, too. And Kristen?
Mine is from that Willow and Tara scene while they're reconning. And Willow says, don't worry, we're sure to spot Faith first. She's like this cleavagey slut bomb walking around going, ooh, check me out, I'm wicked cool, I'm 5x5. And Tara says, 5x5? Five what? By five what? And Willow goes, see, that's the thing. No one knows. And it's so perfect because it sets up the callback for Mitch's favorite line. Like, it sets it up so beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah, because mine is when Fabuffy says the last words of the, what was that, 415, this year's girl, when Joy simply goes, "Oh, Buffy, are you all right?" And she just responds in this very faith voice in Buffy's body, 5x5. And I was like, yes, here we go, body swap.
Freaky Friday. Rah! Yeah, that was good.
Did we hear? And... I'm confused. Mm-hmm. Did Faith hear Willow talking about her? Is that why we had this 5x5 connection? Or is Willow just that spot on? Like,
No. Wait, well, she's been saying 5x5 all along.
Like, has she? I must have just lost that.
Yeah, that's her thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's 5x5.
All right. Yeah. I can follow that.
Oh, we didn't even talk about that, by the way, when Faith fantasized about killing Willow. Was there anyone whose like heart kind of got stuck in their throat for a second?
Yeah. I was like, how are we going to save Willow? What magic Bonnie from the Vampire Diaries stuff are we going to have to use to resurrect her?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a scary moment. And moving into Who Are You and the favorite scenes from that episode, my favorite scene staying on the Spike train here, the scene with quote-unquote Buffy or Buffaith, and Spike in the bronze when she not only like sort of defines the negative side of Buffy to a T, but also just totally plays into... Faith is really good at seeing things between people, and she's really good at reading people. I think we saw that a lot in this episode, and definitely she reads whatever is going on with Spike. Like, she's able to play into that, and she's able to play into, you know what, if I did this, you would for sure. And she sort of plays into that side of Spike, and I really think that's a cool thing, and I think it's a cool scene, and I think it's a very conflicting moment for even for Spike, who's, you know, again, an evil vampire, but even he has a lot of depth to him in that regard, and I think it's cool to see that in this episode. And Caitlin?
So mine is after Buffy and Faith's body. I'm not even going to try and do whatever Mitch was doing.
No,
I can't even follow it.
When she goes to Giles and is trying to get him to recognize her, because I think this is where Elijah Dushku does her best work.
For sure.
Because it's every mannerism, like the way she intones her voice and everything, it's just so Buffy, and she just, it's so well done.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. And Kristen, I'm glad you picked this scene.
Yeah. My favorite scene is definitely Buffy, Faith in Buffy's body, pretending to be Buffy in the mirror. Like, the whole sequence of her, like, it's wrong. All of the different intonations of her trying to get out, it's wrong. And, like, everything she did in the mirror just cracked me up. Like, and the fact that at least half of it is, like, soundtrack-less. It's just silent as she's doing all this. And it's like... I love that sort of thing, and it just, it was so much fun.
Yes, same. It's one of the best, like, most iconic pieces of Buffy sort of gif-able moments, I want to say. It's a really good moment. And where are we at? So, Mitch, what was your favorite scene?
Mine was when Buffy is crying tears of true love as she realizes that her OTP is running away from her again at the end of the episode. It is so sad.
Mm-mm. Yes, Team Fuffy for the win.
Team Fuffy and... forever. I need to change my Twitter bio because currently it's that I'm on Team Cuffy, but I can't really do that when they're not on the same show together as well. Mm-mm. I can, but it's just a lot more difficult. So I'm gonna stick Fuffy now. I need to switch that up
for sure. And my favorite line, we kind of talked about this one already, but it was when Faith is in the it's still when Faith is in the church and she kind of chose to fight Buffy's fight in her place and be the slayer for a day. And she, you know, she has that line when she goes, "I am not a killer. I am the slayer." She reclaims that title for herself because she's Buffy. And I think that's kind of, it's a full circle moment of Faith sort of feeling like she was called to be the slayer, there already was a Slayer, and she was clearly the Slayer, so Faith was never going to be the Slayer, and the only chance she's had to be the Slayer was when she was literally Buffy, and it's a very bittersweet moment for that character. And then also, of course, because through this episode, we've had Faith making fun of Buffy and what Buffy stands for and how quote-unquote perfect Buffy is. And even going back to that scene that Kristen had of her practicing Buffy in the mirror, and she's like, you can't do that because it's wrong. And she really pokes fun of that. But then by the end of the episode, she gets to that moment and she's like, she has to stop these vampires from killing innocent humans because it's wrong. And she owns that. Like, she, it's not that she's being Buffy in that moment, it's that she's making this decision on behalf of herself and behalf of being the Slayer. And I think it's just so, like, it's so wonderful and it's so interesting and it's so rich for that character and for the show. So that's mine. Caitlin.
So mine comes from my favorite scene, and it's Buffy in Faith's body. It says, Giles, Faith has taken my body, and for all I know, she's taken it to Mexico by now. I don't have time for bondage fun. Ask me a question. Ask me anything. And Giles kind of quirks his eyebrow at the bondage line and then goes, who's president? And Buffy says, we're checking for Buffy, not a concussion.
Oh, and, brilliant.
And then the part right after when she's talking about, like, her mom thinking Giles was a stevedore when they were sleeping together, and she's, what's a stevedore? Like, so good.
Was this George Bush so the good. First, or was it Clinton yet? I don't know.
It was 2000, so you do the math.
I don't know. History, math.
Clinton, right?
Politics.
That should have been Bush.
Bush the first.
Because Obama was from 2008 to 2016. Bush was in power from 2000 to 2008.
Oh, so then it was Bush now, right? 2000? Well, I guess it wasn't November yet.
The election was in 2000.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
This is Clinton.
Okay, yeah, so it must have...
Bush, because it's not November yet at this point, I don't think.
Oh, okay.
Who knows? We should clear this up right now so we don't get any emails. Hold on.
I was going to say, I know who the president is now. I have no idea right. who's president when this
date.
Aired.
Say, who was president on said date?
The episode aired on February 22nd and 29th, so Bush was still president.
Okay.
Wow. Imagine that. Like, this was first Bush era. That's how far
first
back
Bush
we are
was.
Time.
First Bush was early 90s.
Okay, then who was president
this
right
is
now?
President
Clinton.
George.
No, that was 2000, right? Oh, no, Bush. I'm sorry. I'm messing them up. I'm sorry. I'm foreign.
Bush the
this
second.
This was Clinton. Bush the second was from 2000 onwards.
Took office in 2001.
Right, but he was elected in
2008.
Right? Yeah, but he didn't become president until January 2001.
You are
right.
Correct, yes.
But this is February anyway, so it would have been the one before Clinton. Before Bush. which
was Clinton.
Right?
So Bill Clinton is president.
Yes.
And
yay!
That is what matters.
Oh my God. My
sorry, I didn't mean to. I thought
my brain, you guys.
Know.
You guys are breaking my heart.
I thought.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, who was Prime Minister of Denmark at this time?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about you.
Yeah.
I'm talking about everybody else.
History is not my strong suit.
This is the future of our country.
I know the order of presidents. I just don't know the years. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I get lost.
It's a long time to think back.
It doesn't matter as much to me as, like, eras do, I guess. That's what I'm saying here. Anyways, politicable, right? Is that what we are?
Yeah. Yes.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Sorry. Not, okay,
almost
no, we're moving.
Here.
Going on.
We're checking for Buffy, not a concussion.
I think everybody on this podcast has a concussion.
I think so.
Pretty much.
Let's go back to talking about Buffy. And Kristen has a wonderful line.
Yes, mine comes from Giles when they're standing outside the church and they show up and the cops are like, no, you can't go in there. And Giles goes, he just kind of steps up and goes, damn it, man, we have to get inside. Our families are in there. Our mothers and tiny, tiny babies.
So he's waving his hands.
Oh, yeah. Child. He's like trying to be this big, you know, gesticulating person, like, look at me. Like, he's basically just yelling, I'm a distraction. And yeah.
It's tiny, tiny babies.
Oh, that's funny.
Genius.
And let's see, then we have the final line from Mitch.
Mine is simply the heartbreaking line that Befaith has toward Riley, where she says, who are you? What do you want from her? It's so heartbreaking. It's so sad.
Yeah, it is. If you want to send in your listener feedback, as always, you can do that by emailing rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. You can tweet @re_watchable. You can find this post on hyperbole.com, and you can find us on Tumblr, which is rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And on iTunes, if you rate us 5 stars, then Caitlin will let you pet Gage if he's feeling up to it. That's a big if.
Yeah, he's not at the moment, but
but that is very sweet. You should definitely rate us 5 stars on iTunes for the rare chance that could happen.
And I promise to keep posting pictures of Gage on my Twitter.
Yay, that's a good one. Even that's better. A really good one. And first of all, we have the result of our most recent poll. Mitch, do you want to take that one for Brittany?
Yeah, so Brittany asked if you could watch one show live with Rewatchable, I believe. Or in general? No, in general. Which one?
No, if you could go back in time and watch one of them.
Go back in time. Go back in time. The winner is Buffy. And let's just say that the losers, one surprising to me and one's not, tied for last are Freaks and Geek and Korra. Korra. I think maybe people just, it's so recent that they already watched it. So
I bet a lot of people did watch it. First of all,
that's definitely true. But I also think, because obviously this was done across 2 polls, so like Buffy was in competition with Angel, and I don't know what other two were in that category. But
right,
Firefly.
It's tough with the Twitter polls. You're like trying to, yeah, you have to. If you're doing like 2 different polls within the same poll, you can vote twice. You're putting others.
So like if we. I was thinking Korra and Atla, and Buffy and Angel.
She really should have gotten
right.
You like made it like
exactly
a
like
style
it.
To make sure that we had this. No, she draws great pie charts, guys. And
she does.
And
it's all worth it for the pie chart.
There were basically we're going to call them the top three: 24% Veronica Mars, 25% Firefly, and 29% the winner Buffy, and the rest Pushing Daisies, Freaks and Geeks, Korra, Angel, even Atla had pretty low scores.
Right, but I was going to say, if we had to sort of do a new poll of the 4 leaders, like Buffy, Firefly, Veronica Mars, and Atla, it would be interesting to see who would win that one, especially because I think maybe Buffy and Angel took some votes away from each other, and Atla and Korra maybe took some votes away from each other and stuff, so it would have been interesting. I think though I obviously voted Buffy because it's the best, I think the argument for Firefly was actually really good, because it was like, well, maybe if more people had watched it live, that was Mariah Lovegood who said that if more people watched Firefly live, it might not have been canceled. So that's a really good point.
So we're kind of like Whedon series-ish. That's what Rewatchable's turning out to be, with Buffy and Firefly and arguably Veronica Mars from how inspired Veronica was from Buffy. So, hey, I mean, that's kind of fun. I like that. I can get behind that.
Yeah, I can't wait for the Dollhouse Rewatchables.
Who knows? I'm not in charge of that, but that could be fun.
Ashley at Riku Stark says, I was lucky enough to watch Atla live all the way through. I still remember the commercial that advertised the first step. Also, I was perusing around eBay, and this is a thing that exists. And there's a picture. of Spike and Angel. Angel looks really weird in their Hawaiian shirts with the little fedora and stick, the walking stick. I don't remember, but it's quite charming.
Have we seen Spike? Oh, he was wearing Xander's clothes.
Yes.
Ashley, you held this back in a good way, because I think we just saw that happen. So thank you if you were trying to not spoil us on that. I appreciate that. Yeah. They're called, Hawaiian shirt Angel and Spike, and they look decent for what the kind of figures they were. It's kind of cute.
The Spike one looks really good. The Angel one's it's a little questionable.
Yeah.
And Caitlin and Mitch, if you want to get the last two Twitter comments?
Yeah, so Clary Chan at Claring Chan says, pro tip for the newbies, the Chrome extension Flix Plus has an option to blur out episode titles and descriptions on Netflix. So that's F-L-I-X Plus for anyone who wants to use that. Good tip.
That's brilliant. I'm going to use that for Gilmore Girls. Because I'm watching that spoiler-free right now.
Sadly, I watch on my Roku, so there's no way to use it, which makes me really sad.
Other than close your eyes.
Right. Karen just usually goes, don't look! And she yells at me, good. And I look elsewhere.
Great.
That's cute.
We should all have a Karen when we watch stuff.
Pretty much.
And then before I go on to my Twitter thing, I wanted to say that there was a really sweet tweet that David tweeted out saying he was really lucky to work with the actor who played Doyle and just like rest in peace kind of stuff. Mm. I think it was how long was it? Was that a 13-year anniversary of his death? Can't remember.
No, I guess. I mean, that was 19... I don't know. I think he died in like 2000, 2001. So it must have been like 14 or 15 years.
So that was a sweet thing that happened on Twitter. It wasn't like rewatchable feedback, but I just thought I'd just mention that because it was sweet to know that David's still like, you know, calling out to him and saying like, you're not here, but we liked you on Angel and stuff. That was cute.
And it was 17 years.
17, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So then, and just back to our feedback. So Brittany Hansen said, where is Adriana when you need her? Angel is a common name in Latino culture. It wouldn't be unusual in the U.S. And when I hear the name Angel, initially, before I started watching Buffy, really, I would think of the character from Rent, which is really fun because I loved the character Angel on Rent. Super fabulous. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think, and I think that, and that's obviously a really good point. I think maybe we came at it with Angel is not Latino, so it would be weird if his name was Angel, but I guess there are men named Angel. In Danish, it would be a last name. Like, the equivalent of Angel in Danish would for sure be a last name, but obviously he isn't Danish either, so that's irrelevant to the conversation.
No, I think they were having a large conversation about this at one point. I wasn't sure from last week. You were on there, I think, Selena, so... Mm-hmm. You would know if it got heated. I'm sure it did if we're getting this kind of feedback, which is okay. I like that people are listening and writing in about this kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And on Hyperbole, we had a comment as well from House of Black who said, great discussion as always. My newbie theory is that Tara is a demon, just like Willow's first roommate. That is why she wrecked the demon-finding spell. She didn't want Willow to find out about her demonic nature.
Ooh.
Oh my gosh.
Buffy's first roommate, not Willow's.
Yeah.
Did I say Willow?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great...
Her name is right below Buffy, so it's easy to...
Yeah.
Kristen, thanks, is that Kristen. Awesome? Like, this is even better than Evil Willow. Like, Evil Tara, that could be cool.
Everyone is evil!
Everyone just evil secretly, that's fine. I'm cool Everyone with that. Everyone is evil! Doyle was totally evil, alright? Just didn't have the time to get through it, I understand. But still, he was evil, not like
Maybe Tara is really Doyle.
Oh no!
No!
Talk about body swap.
She's gonna sneeze, and there's like things are gonna on her face.
So this is the issue. Now that we've introduced the topic of body swapping, we can do it.
Yes,
anyone. You never could trust anything ever again on the show.
No, it's ruined forever.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Yeah, why did she do that, Kristen? That's so strange. Like, she wrecked the demon finding spell for no reason. They don't explain it.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it.
It'd be fun if she was a demon, but like a good demon. That's fine. Buffy doesn't have enough of those, in my opinion. Angel has a bunch.
True. That's true. And Kristen, do you want to get the last comment from an email from James?
Sure, yes. James wrote in to say, I was listening to the last podcast, and I heard the debate about whether Riley, Mark Blucas, would play a good Fred. Well, have I got a treat for you. He did, in fact, portray Fred in a live-action portrayal of Scooby-Doo. God. It was such a coincidence that you guys brought that up. There was a short dream sequence in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back where they hitch a ride with a Scooby-Doo gang and Mark plays Fred. Like all Kevin Smith movies, the sequence has strong language, even from corn-fed Iowa farm boy Riley, but it is super funny. Still enjoying the podcast. Thanks a lot, James. And we have a still from this.
Oh my god.
And Riley, aka Mark or whatever, is Fred, and it's genius. Like...
It's really cute. I watched the
scarf. Is that the best thing I've ever supposed seen. To be a tie? I don't know. It's so cute, and it's
it
like
is. They reference it in the clip. They say like I think like the Shaggy character is like, and we're supposed to be listening to a guy who wears an ascot. Zoinks.
Oh boy. But it's charming. So if you're interested, you can look that up on YouTube, but I'll link to it in the doc as well.
NSFW warning, obviously. Well,
yes.
If you're familiar with cannabis material, obviously. For sure. But yeah, it's pretty raunchy in terms of language. And actually, yeah, in terms of everything. Yeah, you'll see.
So thank you so much to everyone who wrote in. We're going to wrap up the show with Mitch's musings on the next two episodes, which are both Angel episodes to catch us up. So that's 115, The Prodigal. Run away like a prodigal. And Angel's next episode, which is The Ring.
Well, Kristen, have you watched The Prodigal yet? Because I did, but I actually forget it, which is awesome.
I have not watched it.
Cool.
I'm I'll about you run three away with episodes this one. Behind on Angel. Well, I did hear Brittany's predictions last week because she thought we were going to be watching The Prodigal. But what rang in my head was like the old Bible story of the prodigal son, where like the guy leaves and then comes back, and yeah, all that. So I've kind of got that story stuck in my head. So I'm assuming that maybe somebody's coming back. I don't know. But I'm expecting like a character we haven't seen in a while to return, and for everyone to kind of celebrate their return, which is what happens in the story. I don't know, but that's where my brain is. And then go ahead, Mitch. I'll let you do the ring.
So Samara's coming out of the TV, and that's what's happening. Done.
Or how about Tara is Samara and
Rhymes.
Comes out of the TV? It works.
I like that. Maybe, 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 maybe. This super awesome go out in the sun ring that Angel destroyed is coming back, because that's a ring we've seen that's important. Ooh. As okay, also could be a crossover episode, because well, probably not. I don't know. I hope not, because of the Clodagh ring. So that's the two rings very important to us. And last but not least, we also just had a ring mentioned when Tara and Willow are using the ring for their spell, because Tara goes, what do you have of Buffy's? And Willow goes, I have her ring. So we don't know what ring it is, but
so many rings.
Three rings. So many, yeah, there are a lot of rings. That's a very vague term. So
or maybe Wesley will just decide he loves Cordy and will propose, and it's all about the ring.
It could be like a secret circle ring, like the TV show, like witches, you know, doing their thing. Like, true. There's a lot you can go with the ring, but I'm still going to stick with Samara is Tara. Done.
Nice.
Samara is Tara. That's awesome. I'm going to stick with they take the ring to Mordor, and then they party.
Yeah.
That's it.
They do. On bed. Yeah. On the bed, and they have a little bit of a homoerotic thing going on, but it's okay.
Okay. For sure. And on that note, we've reached the end of another episode of Rewatchable, and thank you for listening, and we will be back with a double feature of Angel next week, and then it's back to Buffy Angel for every episode as we move on. Thank you for listening. My name is Selena.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Mitch.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.